What's up, everybody? This is Nick Brent. Thanks for joining us for a Circuit Rider podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions movement in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. You are listening to a Circuit Rider podcast.
I am undone at the presence of God in this place. Like, I have, like, literally have so much fear of the Lord even taking this microphone right now, because I don't even know, like, how I got here, to be honest. I had a message prepared as I shared this morning, and then I felt like God was just, like, literally burning my heart with love for you guys. And not my own love, but the love of the Father. And I was going to talk about identity. I'm still going to talk a little bit about identity, but I just feel like tonight there is an encounter with the actual man, Jesus, for each one of you guys. Because there's a difference between knowing about Jesus and singing songs about Jesus and jumping around and dancing and getting hype for Jesus and actually having encountered the man who was a real man, and he lived, and he was born of a virgin, and he lived a perfect life, and he was the Son of God, and he was also man. He was fully God and fully man, and he was sent to the earth by the Father, by God himself, to save us of our sins. And I don't know how many people in here have grown up in church. I grew up in church. But raise your hand if you've grown up in church. Okay, so probably 70% of us. I know for myself, it was 23 years of calling myself a Christian before I met the man, Jesus. And I wish that I had gone to a camp like this and sat in a seat just like you guys and heard a message about who Jesus truly was and what his sacrifice truly meant for my life. Like, my life personally, because I think it's so easy to say, hey, Jesus loves you, or to hear that. You know, we hear that all the time. Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. And sometimes, you know, when you hear a word so many times, it kind of loses its meaning. Have you guys ever done that before? Like, said a word over and over again, and it starts sounding, like, really weird. You're like, how is that even English? That's crazy. But I feel like sometimes the words, Jesus loves you, or even I love you, Jesus, can become like that. Sometimes, even if we've grown up in church, and we've gone to church our whole lives, and we've tried to live for God, and we've tried to, you know, do all the right stuff, and go all the right directions and make all the right moves and look a certain way and act a certain way, that we can kind of, like, lose, like, the man himself. We can kind of forget that Jesus was a real person, that he actually was born and he walked the earth for 33 years, and his whole purpose for walking the earth was to die for you. And I think sometimes we hear the gospel and we're like, that's so awesome. Jesus saved me from my sins. This is amazing. Like, woohoo, whatever. But then we get in moments like this, like when his presence is actually in the room, and it just, like, reminds us of how real he really is and how much his life or his love actually changes our lives if we can just take a hold of it. And I really believe that so many times the reason that we don't take a hold of his love and we don't actually live and give everything to him like the way that he gave everything to us is because we don't have a true revelation of who he truly is. Because I really believe that if you guys knew and if I knew how much he actually paid for us, we would all live differently. Like, if we actually were there that day, just even right now, go in your minds, if we were there that day, on the day when he took his cross, he was whipped 39 lashes. They say that 40 lashes is what you get when you get sentenced to death. Like, 40 lashes will kill you. So Jesus took 39, almost to the point of death, and then took up his cross after he's already completely unrecognizable, because he's been whipped so many times. He took He hiked up a hill with a crown of thorns on his head, and then he sat there being crucified by the people that he made. Yeah. What kind of love is that? What kind of humility is that? He could have gotten off the cross. He could have looked at them and said, "All you guys are fools. You don't see me for who I really am. I came for you. I'm getting out of here. You guys aren't respecting me. You guys don't honor me. You guys don't see me for who I truly am." But no. Jesus literally humbled himself to the point of death. The Bible says that he didn't love his life unto death. He didn't love his life unto death. How many people in this room right now would look at some, think of somebody right now who you feel like is an enemy? I know we all have those, we're all people, right? We all have those people in our lives that are making it. It's a grace grower, I like to call them. Grace growers. They teach you how to have more grace because they're really bother you, okay? Does anyone have those people in their lives? I do. Okay, I'm a person. And I have to ask Jesus for help sometimes in loving people. But the Bible says in Romans 5 that Jesus got up on that cross for the ones that he created, that were literally crucifying him, that were literally rejecting him, that were literally abandoning him and beating him and whipping him and mocking him and putting vinegar on his wounds, which stings like crazy. If you didn't know, that's wild. That's so crazy. And the Bible says that in Romans 5, it says that how many people would die for somebody that they love? How many of you guys right now would die for somebody that you love? Like, be honest. Don't just raise your hand. Actually ask yourself this. Think about the person that you love most in your life. Would you die if they could live? Okay, 50%, that seems honest. I don't know if I would. I want to say that I would, but I'm not gonna stand up here and say, "Oh yeah, easy decision, yeah, for sure I would die." If my, you know, little sister was gonna get hit by a train, I would just push it out of the way. You know, that if we all wanna believe that we're that person, right? We all wanna believe that we're that heroic person, but in reality, that's a super tough decision for somebody that you love, right? That's a super tough decision. In Romans 5, it says not many people would die for somebody that they love, let alone die for their enemies. Okay? Now put yourself in that situation of the person you just thought of. Okay? You're in that situation. It's literally somebody that you see as your enemy. They have abused you. Some of us in this room have had abusers. I've had an abuser. I know some of us in here come from rough paths. I don't know if I could say that I would die for somebody that has abused me. I think that would be a super tough call. And maybe in my heart, I might be like, yeah, they're getting what's coming to them, right? I think it's kind of easy to think that way, right? It's easy to think like, you know, you reap what you sow. The Bible does say you reap what you sow, right? So that's my justification. I'm not going to die for them because they reap what they sow. But the Bible says in Romans 5 that Jesus went to the cross for you, for me, for every person on this planet while we were still his enemies.
Crazy.
Yeah.
While we were still rebelling. While we were still mocking him and scorning him and telling him, "You suck, Jesus. I don't believe that you're God. I'm going to live my own way. I'm going to put my identity in all of these other things in the world because these things feel more valuable to me than putting my identity in you." While we were still rejecting Jesus, and many of us in this room still are rejecting Jesus, many of us in this room, if we are honest, are still in a place of hard-heartedness and maybe anger toward God for something that happened to you in your life that felt unfair. Maybe you grew up in a circumstance that didn't feel like it was fair, and maybe you've been kind of mad at God for that. Maybe you've been a little bothered at the Lord for that. Maybe it's kind of caused you to, you know, you're like, "I'll show up to church, but I'm not going to really participate. You know, I'm just kind of going through emotions. I'll be here. I'll show my face. So everyone kind of thinks that we're good, you know? But in your heart, you're hard. You're hard toward God. But in reality, guys, Jesus doesn't really care. Jesus does not care that you're angry at him. It doesn't even faze him. It might hurt his heart, but it does not faze his love for you. It does not faze the decision that he made when he went to the cross 2,000 years ago, knowing that 75% of the earth would reject him. 75% of creation. Now, that's a generalized statistic, so don't quote me on that. But that level of people on the earth have rejected or do not know about Jesus. There are still 3 billion people in the world that haven't even heard his name. And we'll get to that in a couple days, okay? Because y'all are missionaries.
Yeah.
You just don't know him, okay? But here's the thing, you guys. Here's the thing. When we get a glimpse and when we get an understanding and when we actually have a revelation of this man that we were just singing about, the angels are crying holy, the elders are casting down their golden crowns at his feet because they've seen a glimpse of who he is. And so they're going, you are worthy, Jesus. I am not worthy. There is nothing in this world that will satisfy me but you. And did you know what? It's not only the elders and the angels, but you guys all right now in this room, in this place, in Dallas, Texas, have an opportunity to join in with that revelation that he is worth everything.
Come on, KJ.
And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about all the ways that we turn our backs on God when he is over here like, just come here. It's going to be so much better. It's going to be so much better. You don't even know. You haven't even caught a glimpse of how much better your life would be if you just kicked out that anxiety, if you just kicked out that addiction, if you just turned away from that self-hatred and actually believed that you are who I say you are, and that the truest thing about you is that 2,000 years ago, I looked at you when you were broken and when you were downcast and you were rejecting me and mocking me, and I still took that bullet for you. I still let them put those nails in my hands. I still let them pierce my side. I still accepted the man who was next to me, who had lived a criminal's life. And he said, Jesus, have mercy on me. And he said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. What kind of mercy is that? What kind of love is that? And that's what I want to talk about tonight, because I want you guys to understand the love of God over your life. I need you to understand.
Yes.
I need you to understand how much better life with Jesus is. You have to know that you are worth something.
Yeah, come on.
There's some of you in this room tonight, and you think that you're trash. And maybe your whole life you've been told that you are. But I'm here to tell you that you are not. And that Jesus proved that 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, he did.
When he let them put him up on that tree and hang there so that you would know how loved you are. You guys need to know. You need to know. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Is we're all in this together and we're going to ask him to show us. And I'm just going to read the Bible, honestly. I'm just going to talk about the Bible. Does everything you need to know about God and everything you need to know about yourself can be found there?
Yeah.
And let you in on a little secret. The world's going to try to tell you who you are.
Yeah.
The devil's going to try to put a label on you. The enemy's going to try to tell you, okay, until you come out as this thing, then you are never going to be happy. Until you sell your soul to this thing and give yourself to, you know, seeking fame and fortune and making something in your life, you're never going to be happy. You're never going to be satisfied. Until you transition to this other gender, you're never going to be satisfied. You know, until you have X number of followers or X number of dollars in your bank account, you're never going to be happy. But I'm here to tell you that that's a lie. And the Bible says in John 10:10 that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And every single one of you are in a generation that is being warred over by the devil. He is terrified of you guys. He is the devil's worst fear. My friend Amy Ward says this. She says, the devil's worst fear is that you would find out who God made you to be and become it. You guys want to make an impact in the world? You want to make something of yourself? Surrender to Jesus and let him make something of you.
Come on.
I'm sorry, but let's just talk about the American dream for a second, because that's fake. There's no happiness in that. There's no real joy in that. The Bible actually says that the only place that you can find real joy, true joy, is in the presence of God. That's in the Psalms. It says, in the Lord's presence is the fullness of joy. And some of you guys have been looking for joy in the world. You've been looking around, you've been searching, and you've literally been grasping at straws. Maybe if I just give myself to this guy. Maybe if I just can hook up with this girl, then I'll feel satisfied for 5 seconds. Literally 5 seconds. Right. Then the next day it's like, all right, who's next? What's next? I'm never actually satisfied because I'm literally looking to the world and things that will pass away to actually find satisfaction. I just want to read a verse the Lord's putting on my heart. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Okay. Let's listen to this. It's crazy. It says 1 John 2:15 through 17. It says, do not love this world. Period. Okay? Verse 15 says, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. What that means is not mean that you don't have God's love in you, like literally. It means that when you fill yourself with things of the world, there's no room for God's love to come and transform you because you're already full. You're full of the world, right? That's what we were talking about earlier. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and a pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And, get this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. What this is saying is that everything we crave, right? Physical pleasure, pride, achievements, accomplishments, money, literally, it says everything in this world is fading away, all the things that people crave. But this is the promise, so catch this. Anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. You want to know what that means? It doesn't mean being religious. It doesn't mean following rules, right? I think when we think pleasing God, we think like, okay, I got to just follow all these rules, and then God will be pleased with me, right? I'm not going to live in sin. I'm not going to give into temptation. I'm going to read my Bible every day. Check, 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 right? Then God will be pleased with me. No, that's literally not what that means. When it says this is what pleases God, or when it says anyone who does what pleases God will live forever, it means anyone who gives themselves fully to be used by the service of God and gives themselves fully in surrender to relationship with him will live forever. Because the inheritance of giving everything to Jesus is eternal life. Yeah. But the inheritance of giving yourself to the world is eternal punishment and separation from God. How many of you guys want eternal punishment and separation from God?
No.
I don't. So even right now, I want you guys just to begin asking the Holy Spirit to reveal areas of your heart and areas of your life that you have not given yourself fully to God. And I don't say these things to like scare you into like surrendering to Jesus. I say these things because I know that his love is worth everything that you could ever give. Could you imagine, all right, just go with me for a second. Could you imagine if Jesus got up on the cross one day, and he was like about to die? Maybe he had hung there for, I don't know, 30 minutes or something. And he kind of looks over, checks his Apple Watch. And he's like, well, I think that's good enough. I'm going to get down now. Could you imagine if he gave you a partial sacrifice?
Yeah, come on.
How many times do we give him a partial sacrifice?
Go there, come on.
So many of you guys in here have just like tried to do all the right stuff to be a Christian, but you actually don't know him. Because I know that your lives, and my own life even, would look differently if we did.
Go there.
And so tonight, I'm not going to go long. Like, I really am not going to go long. That's why I have Callie up here. You can even start playing right now. We're going to go back into a time of ministry because I think we need to just respond to Jesus tonight. Like, I don't even want to preach. I literally don't even want to preach. I don't even want to stand up here because I have so much fear of the Lord over Jesus introducing himself to you tonight.
Yeah.
Because I know that that's what he's going to do. I just know it because I was sitting over there and he told me he wanted to. He wanted to introduce himself. He wants to walk in this room tonight and reveal to you that he is a real person. He truly is God. And he truly died. And he truly rose again by his Spirit. The Spirit of God. He ascended into heaven and he promised us that one day he would return. But in the meantime, he left us his Holy Spirit, who magnifies him to us. So through the Holy Spirit, we are able to know Jesus. We are able to surrender to Jesus, and we are able to see that he is the only one worthy of our attention. He is the only one worthy of our affection. He is the only one worthy of giving our identities to and labeling ourselves by. I don't know if you guys know this, but your generation is obsessed with labels.
Yeah.
Think about it for a second. Bye. Every social media platform has a bye. Tell me who you are. I want to know who you are. I want to know what you identify as. People now have gotten to the point where they're literally labeling their gender on their shirt because they're so obsessed that you know that they are a man or a woman. They're so obsessed that you know that they are he or she. Think about that. What if this generation walked around and the label said, lover of Jesus,
okay.
Son of God,
okay.
Woman of God, daughter of the Lord. I've been changed by him. You have to know. Well, guess what? Your label is your voice and God is calling you to use it.
Yeah.
The Bible says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed to what the world tells you that you have to put your identity in, because it's leading you to death. It's leading you to destruction. And I'm going to read another verse. I'm not even using notes tonight because I just don't even know. I don't know. I just feel like God just wants to do something and I just don't want to mess it up. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. This is so key. So listen to this. Listen up. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. What's the most important part of building a house? Hallelujah. You guys know. Building experts in here. Though the rain comes in torrents, and the flood waters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But, this is Jesus' words, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, The crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. What I love about this passage is that it doesn't say, build your house on a rock and it will just always avoid having rains and storms. Okay, think about that for a second. It literally says, though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. Another version says this, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and listen to this, and great was the fall of it. I just get so much fear of the Lord when I read that verse. Because that verse is saying, the Bible is literally promising that we will go through trials. The Bible is literally promising that rains and storms and winds will come in our lives. It's not an if, it's a when. But Jesus in this passage is warning you, and many of you have already gone through a lot of storms in your life. Many of you have already gone through a lot of trauma in your life and abuse in your life. But the Bible is literally the key to life. It's the key to actually living a life that's actually able to withstand the pressures of the world. Who in here wants to be able to stand when hard things happen? I don't think anyone in here wants to give up, right? I don't think anyone wants to fall greatly. Does anyone want to fall greatly? That sounds like it sucks, honestly. That sounds horrible. Why then do we so often build our lives on the sand of what the world tells us is a good foundation? Why? Why? Ask yourself this. Everyone in this room has done it. Why are we building our lives on things that will fade away? Like money and fame and influence and education and relationships, and even our struggles. So many of us put identity in our struggles these days. We have a generation that's obsessed with anxiety. Like, anxiety is my identity. Anxiety is something that I struggle with, and it's not just something I struggle with, it's actually who I am. I'm an anxious person. I label myself as anxious. I label myself, I'm depressed, my depression. We take ownership of these lies that the enemy has placed on our lives, and we forget that we actually have authority over those things because of what Jesus did for us. Jesus didn't die for you to put your identity in something that he gave you a way out of. That would be crazy. Why would we ever do that? So I just want to bring us into this revelation tonight. That the wind and the waves will come. And it will cost you something to put your foundation on Jesus. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that it's easy. Because if I'm being honest, for the past 2 years, I've been in one of the hardest times of my whole life. God has been testing me. He's been pruning me. He's been cutting off branches that aren't serving his kingdom. He's been giving me fear of the Lord over my speech and the way that I act. And it has cost me so much to try to follow him. It has not been easy. But I am so thankful that I built my life on the foundation of who he says that I am, and not what the world says that I am, or not what the devil says that I am, because he tells me I'm a piece of crap all the time. I'm so thankful that I'm not putting my foundation in the lies of the enemy over my identity. I'm so thankful that I read the Word of God and I read this passage and I go, oh my gosh, there is a way out. There is a way out, and his name is Jesus Christ. And the only reason that he came to the earth was to die for you, so that you can have a way out when the rain comes, when the wind comes, when the storm blows, and when the foundation feels shaky, you can say, no, my life is founded on the rock, and I am unshakable, and I am here. That's another thing I want to say. This generation is the most biblically illiterate generation in history. Did you know that? That means that more people in this generation have never owned or looked at a Bible ever in their life than any generation in the past. We know the least about the Bible. That's a scary thought. And I believe that each one of you guys in this room is an exception to that statistic. I believe that you guys in this room are going to be so gripped with the love of Jesus after this encounter that you have with him this week. You are going to be so changed and you're going to become so hungry for the word, and that is going to become the foundation upon which you build your life. And so when the rain comes and the wind comes and the storms come, you will not fall. And more than that, you'll be able to look at your friend who is not building their life on this foundation and who is building their life on that shaky ground and reach down and go, here, come up here. My foundation is secure. And I actually believe the way that you guys live your lives is going to draw people to Jesus. Because the culture that we're living in is not going to get any less crazy. What we're going through the last 2 years is like this much shaking compared to what's coming. So we better get rooted in the Word of God. We better get rooted in our identities and actually believe the word of the Lord over our lives. And I'm almost done, you guys. But I just know that there's people in the room tonight. Maybe you even responded earlier today. But there's some more things that the Lord is bringing into your hearts and minds even right now. As I'm talking, you're like, man, I'm with you guys. I'm like, I need this message for myself. But I know that there's some things in our lives that we need to submit to God tonight. We need to stop trying to build our lives on the foundation of sin. We need to stop trying to put our identities in what everyone else thinks of us. Because in the end, no one is going to be standing with you on Judgment Day in front of Jesus. It's you and Jesus. Your friend's not going to be there, and you're not going to be like, yeah, Jesus. Or like, I'm too cool to worship because my friends are not worshiping. You're going to literally be staring Jesus in the face, and he's going to be asking you, did you put your trust in me, or did you put your trust in the things of the world?
Yeah.
The Bible says in James that when we make ourselves a friend of the world, we make ourselves an enemy of God. I'm going to say that again. When you befriend the world, when you're like, hey, world, what's up? Sure, I'll try a little weed. Sure, I'll try a little, you know, whatever. Sure, I'll try a little, take some shots on the weekend. Sure, I'll hook up with you. Sure, I'll look for physical pleasure, which literally it says is one of the things. Sure. You know, I'll want to store up wealth for myself. Sure, world, come be my friend. You become more and more and more distant from God, not because he's not running after you and trying to pull you out of darkness, but because your sin is separating you from him and you're no longer sensitive to the calling of his spirit. You've actually numbed yourself to recognize what his voice even sounds like because you're so deep in the world that you've become his enemy. But you've made yourself his enemy. He's not your enemy. You've made yourself his enemy. He's not your enemy. And so we're going to just, honestly, we're just going to transition. But I'm going to do a couple of calls. Because I just believe we're in a moment right now. Like, I literally believe that this is a moment for you guys to not look at the people around you, to let those people determine whether or not you actually surrender everything to Jesus. Like I said, you're not going to be up there with him on judgment, with your bestie on judgment day. It's you and Jesus. So you better make the right choice now when they're in the room so that when they're not there, you made the right choice. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you, no amount of affirmation from people will ever satisfy you. I literally spent my whole entire life seeking affirmation from people. trying to be my best, trying to be the best soccer player I could be. I played soccer in college, so that was a big thing for me. Trying to get the best grades that I could get, trying to impress all the people around me with all my skills and all my talents, and spending so many hours, wasting so many hours trying to be known and loved and accepted by people. And in the end, it literally led me to death. Like when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, my sin led me to the point where I wanted to take my own life because I had no idea why I was even alive anymore, because I had followed this mirage. Do you guys know what a mirage is? In the desert, there's these things called mirages. And basically, it's when you've been wandering in the desert for so long that you have like a hallucination. You see something off in the distance that looks like an oasis for you, that has water, that has food, that has shelter. And so you literally just follow it and follow it and follow it. And then you should be there by now. And you should be there by now. And you should be there by now because you're following it. It looks kind of real. And then it looks kind of real. And then all of a sudden you get there and it was fake. That's what it's like when you try to follow what the world is telling you will satisfy you. Think of that right now. What is the thing in your mind that you're trying to follow right now that you think is going to satisfy you? Because I promise you, it's a mirage. It's fake. And you're going to keep searching your whole entire life. Hallelujah. You're going to keep searching your whole entire life. And you're not going to find the thing that you're looking for. So why would you waste any more time? I'm begging of you, don't waste your life. Don't waste another minute not giving everything to Jesus. Don't waste another minute putting your identity in the things of this world that is promising you it will satisfy. But the Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is the father of lies. He is the one lying to you. So stop listening to him. Put your identity in Christ and become rooted in him. And what that looks like practically is literally the first step is just admitting that you have put your identity in the things of the world. Yeah. That is the first step. Yeah. I have been rejecting Christ to try to seek affirmation, to try to seek pleasure, to try to seek money, to try to seek fame. I have forsaken you, God. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Jesus. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of every ounce of oil that I have to spill at your feet. You know what's so crazy? And I'm almost done, guys. You know what's so crazy is that in the Bible, it talks about this woman right before Jesus went to the cross. It talks about this woman, and she went to Jesus, and she had revelation that Jesus was the Messiah. And a lot of people around him at that time, they didn't understand. He kept telling them, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. He literally would say it over and over again. They're like, sure, Jesus. Yeah, you're going to die. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. But this woman listened, and she had revelation of who Jesus was. She knew that he was the Son of God. She knew that he was the Savior of the earth. And so the night before he went to the cross, she sat down, and she anointed him with oil. And this oil wasn't like olive oil from Costco, right? This oil was expensive. It actually says in the Bible that this oil that she had was worth a year's wage. Now that would be like $40,000-$50,000. And she went and she saw him for who he truly was. And she literally broke the flask that her oil was in, and she dumped it on his head. And there was a sweet fragrance of perfume, because it was a fragrant oil. And all the people around them, Jesus and her, went, why would you do that? You're wasting that. That could have been sold for money, and we could have given that money to the poor. They didn't understand that she saw something about Jesus that they didn't see. Wow. That he was worth every penny.
Wow. Yeah.
He was worth that oil. He was worth that $40,000 or $50,000. The last money that she had to her name. And that oil was actually traditionally in history, it was used to preserve people for burial. So when people die, they would anoint them with this oil and it would be fragrant and it would overtake the stench of their body. And so she understood who Jesus was and she gave everything. And you know what's so crazy? I've never preached on this before. But you know what's so crazy is that it literally says at the end of that story that that woman will be remembered every time the gospel is preached for the rest of time. Yeah. Do you know what that means? Do you know why it says that? The Bible is saying every time someone understands and gains revelation of who Jesus truly is, they've received the true gospel. Yeah. That story is not about that story. It's an analogy and it's an invitation. It's an invitation into saying, Jesus, I understand that you are worthy of everything, and I will give every last minute of my life, every resource that I have, every dollar that I have, I will spend it on you, Jesus. Every single penny, you are worth it. You are worth it because of who you are and because of what you did for me on that cross. That's what that story is about. It's about giving everything. It's about withholding nothing. And it's about highlighting all the people around Jesus that didn't get it, that said, you're wasting your life. You're wasting all of your money. Yeah. That could have been used for something else. You guys would be shocked at the amount of times people have looked at me and went, you're a missionary? You're a missionary? Wait, so you don't make any money? How do you live? People give you money? Wow. Man, that money could have been used to like feed the homeless or something. That money could have been, you know, given to this charity or that charity. They don't get it. But when you get it, it's such sweet intimacy. The woman and Jesus had such sweet intimacy because Jesus knew that she got it. Do you guys get it?
Yeah.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
Are you understanding what I'm saying right now?
Yes.
Are you understanding that he is worth everything?
Yes.
He is worth everything.
Yes.
And there are things in your life that you've been withholding from him, but tonight he's asking you, will you break that flask over my head? Will you lay it down? Will you give me everything? Because I want to take your life and I want to use you to change the world. I want to use you to change the world. I want to use you to make people confused. I want to use you to change that person's life and that person's life and that person's life. And many people won't understand. But at the end of time, when you're standing in front of Jesus, he's going to look at you and say, oh my gosh, we knew each other. You can come on in.
Yeah.
We knew each other. You didn't just do good works for me. You didn't just live a religious life for me. You didn't just pray for people and cast out demons and go to church on Sundays, but actually we knew each other. You got that I am worth everything, and that I am your prize. I am the pearl, the great prize that is hidden in the field. Oh my gosh, you guys, this is crazy. Jesus is real. Jesus is so real. He's not just a name. He's a man, and he loves you, and he gave everything for you. So if you want to give everything to him, I want you to stand and just come. Come to the front, because the Lord wants to meet you tonight. He wants to touch you. He wants to meet you. As you come to the altar, I just want to invite you to just take whatever posture of worship you want to take. And I want to begin to ask Jesus together, Lord, will you meet me? Will you meet me? I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to give everything to you. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for anything I've withheld from you, Jesus. I'm sorry for anything I've withheld from you, Jesus. I need to know you. I need to know you. I need to give you everything. Begin to say out loud. Begin to pray out loud. Right now, don't be ashamed. This is your moment. Begin to pray out loud. Begin to pray out loud. Ask the Holy Spirit. Reveal Jesus to me. Some of you guys need to say you're sorry. Some of you guys need to say, Lord, I understand now. I didn't get it before. I was living for myself. I was living for the world. I was looking at all those people that were wasting their life on you, and I was confused. I was like, why the heck are they living like that? That doesn't make sense. But now I get it, Jesus. So will you come? So will you come? The Lord loves to meet his children. Holy Spirit, I invite you right now. You're already here, Lord. You're already here, Jesus. But yourself to us tonight? Will you show us yourself tonight, Lord? Will you take our identities and will you root them in you, Lord? Will you give us a hunger for the word, Jesus? Will you give us a hunger for your presence, God? We need to know you the way that Mary and Bethany knew you. We need to know you the way that Mary did when she poured everything out of your feet and on your head. We need to know you like that, Jesus. So come. Guys, don't stop praying right now. Just continue to seek the Lord. Just continue to seek his face right now.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.